welcome to today's episode of LID Radio Podcast. Today on our Inside Knowledge series, we're talking to Sergei Gorbachev and Angela Lane. So they both work and write about the complex science of human performance while making it simple. Leveraging Fortune 500 experience gained across four continents, they equip leaders with practical tools for success. They are also the co-authors of Fair Talk, Three Steps to Powerful Feedback. And today they're covering the topic, how to give effective feedback from a distance. So now over to Angela and Sergei.
Hi, Angela. I want to pick up your brain on a topic that's on top of mind for thousands of people leaders around the world. How do I give feedback virtually? Science is conclusive on the fact that effective feedback leads to better performance. But managing people virtually makes things more difficult, right?
It does and it doesn't. So here's why. So before you even consider today's unprecedented context, there were already two undeniable facts about today's world of work. And this is, as I say, before COVID-19. So if you think back, since about the late 50s, we've predominantly been a society of knowledge workers. With knowledge work, you can't see the work that's happening anyway. Leaders manage work processes, thinking processes, that they can't see. Contrast that to the era of Henry Ford or Taylorism, where a supervisor could and did really observe the efficiency of work. You know, supervisors counted the number of movements or measured the time each action took. But knowledge work is so much harder to see. It's very intangible. So even when we're together, effective feedback is already pretty challenging. But the second thing is, not only do you not see the work process today, more and more you don't see the worker, putting aside COVID. Today, projects, project teams are global, work's distributed. Many of us work from home. So before COVID, many companies had really grappled with the question of, does proximity matter? And often they came back with the answer, no, you know what, it doesn't. So in fact, relying only on workers that are physically approximate to us was reducing the pool of available talent. You think of that war for talent, many organizations had already decided to support flexible working. In other words, and I don't want to diminish the crisis that we're in, but a lot of experiences have helped prepare us for the moment that we're in.
To make sure that I'm tracking with you, what you're saying is that the COVID-19 crisis simply has brought some to the fore the fact that virtual work is already the new normal for many knowledge workers. What this crisis did was that in a blink of an eye, everyone went hyper-digital when these shelter-in-place and stay-at-home ordinances came out.
Absolutely. And those organizations that had embraced digital early were actually better prepared. They were absolutely able to send their employees home. People could work from home. And of course, that's not possible in all organizations or all roles. But for those that could, a lot of work has continued business as usual.
This is a great insight. But does it also mean that organizations that had already embraced the culture of feedback before the crisis were more effective in giving feedback virtually?
I firmly believe so. And it's my advice to organizations and leaders going forward. Crises are inevitable. Things are difficult to predict. Black swan events happen. So organizations that want high performance have to get good at giving feedback under all sorts of circumstances, including virtually.
Okay, great. So what should we do? What's your practical and pragmatic advice on giving feedback at a distance?
Well, not only at a distance, experience and research tells us that if you stick to some key tenets of good feedback, you're going to be a more effective leader, virtual or otherwise. So grounding yourself in those fundamentals, you'll already be ahead of the pack. And the first one of those fundamentals, the first principle, as it were, is sense making. Your primary leadership responsibility, in our view, is to answer the question, why does it matter?
Basically, and please check my understanding of sense making. What you say is that leaders must make sense for others to reduce uncertainty, to reduce the feeling of worry and fear. And this extra sense, given sense is very important. Working virtually, we are deprived of many of the visual cues that we rely on. And those cues tell us how we're doing. You know, the boss's frown, the friendly nod, a smile that we share across the table. So in situations when we work remotely, as a leader, you need to create sense for your employees with information on their performance. In other words, with feedback. Focus their attention on what's important, why it's important, what works and what needs a different approach. Remember that in chaos, there is little information, but much noise. Feedback has this ability to cut through the noise and creates clarity. Do I get it right, Angela?
100% right, Sergey, absolutely. And in our book, Fair Talk, we insist that your feedback message really starts with that statement of why it's important, why the issue matters, why it's personally relevant. And it's not a coincidence. There's a lot of research on the power of why. Answering why for folk is really important. The first reason it's important is it appeals for our need for what is logical and what's rational. It invokes our kind of thinking process. But importantly, it also appeals to our less rational but nevertheless really important needs to know that my perspective counts, that I'm important. In our book, there's a famous Harvard experiment that we quote, and it demonstrated that people are so much more willing to help others if they're given an explanation, if they're told why. And actually what the research showed was it doesn't necessarily matter how good that explanation is. What's important is that you tried. So during business as usual times, when we're potentially over-indexing on goals and tactics, maybe we don't do enough explaining the why. But in this current moment, more than ever, it really calls for leaders to help focus people on purpose and vision. The team really needs a big dose of tell me why it matters when the environment is ambiguous. In this environment, it's important. People may even question their own contribution. Does the work I do matter when I look around me? So use your role as a leader to signal through feedback the importance of the work that your team members are doing. You can explain how their job connects to either the organization's values and purpose, or perhaps even the employee's own values and purpose.
Thank you, Angela. Well, now you have really convinced me, and I hope that our listeners as well, that the first feedback step, tell me why it matters, is critically important. You have just made sense of the situation we're in, and you have shared that sense with us. We get it now, why it matters. What's the second step?
We call the second step, tell me how I'm doing. And this is the leader's assessment about the employee's performance, supported by facts and examples. With tell me how I'm doing, we always say, quote unquote, standard terms and conditions apply. In other words, the same principles of good feedback apply to tell me how I'm doing. In other words, it's behaviorally oriented. It's not personal. It's relevant to performance in the role. It's not feedback for its own sake. And it's adjusted to account for the conditions of performance. It should be validated. That is, it's not just a stray thought or top of mind idea, but really it is feedback that results from a very structured, thoughtful process, and ideally with input from others, clients, stakeholders, peers, and so on. In our book, we go into a lot more depth on how to make your feedback message what we call fair, focused, and credible. But it does need you to tell me how I'm doing.
Angela, you mentioned context. Why is it important to tailor the feedback message to the context and account for this variety of environmental conditions?
Great question. We know human performance is actually highly contextual. What works in some situations may completely backfire in others. In a crisis, we might find that our regular strategies for driving forward all of a sudden don't work. Maybe our processes, which we've had proven in the past, start to break down. And maybe policies or things are rendered obsolete by the situation. So it's not just our lack of experience that gets exposed. It could also be that the situation exposes us to a different sort of challenge. Let me explain. Our typical behaviours, including those that normally work for us, might get found wanting when we're under a situation of stress. Under stress, we tend to over-rely on behaviours that typically work for us. When that happens, though, sometimes our strengths can become overused. And instead of being helpful, they now start to become counterproductive or even destructive. So not accounting for the context, not taking into account things like stress, you really risk that your feedback is at best perhaps biased, but it could be just unfair. And two things are going to happen. One is it's going to decrease, a perception of unfairness is going to decrease the value of your message to the listener. But actually, if that was to continue over time, it would start to diminish even your credibility as a leader.
Thank you. I appreciate this deeper dive on the critical importance of the context and adapting the message to it. Now, very often when we talk about the second step of the Fair Talk model, tell me how I'm doing, people instinctively think about, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Is that your experience as well?
Absolutely, both positive and negative feedback is necessary in different doses for different people and in different situations. In turbulent times like we're experiencing now, I think encouragement and support are critical. Certainly, you need to be giving feedback to employees on what they're doing right. That might be a little more difficult for you to see at the moment in the virtual environment. So we'd really encourage managers, leaders to pay attention to the team, look for those examples of what people are doing well. But at the same time, your team also needs you as the leader to provide course corrections. Why? All of us are improvising. So it's really important that you take a moment to share feedback about what perhaps isn't working. As I said, we're all learning. Most of us would agree that when we're learning, feedback is helpful. So that would be the first reason why sometimes this course correction feedback is really important. But also think about it. In a crisis, time is a super scarce resource. Imagine how appreciative your team members are going to be when you take the time out to give them that feedback and coaching. Finally, at a time like this, many of us are just feeling insecure. If you tell me what will make me an even better performer, actually, that's quite confirming because it confirms that my work is important and that it's important that it's done well. So three reasons, I think, why we shouldn't discount some of that negative feedback, even in this moment. Of course, when you tell your team member to course correct, you're going to do it with empathy. Some people shy away from giving negative feedback because they're worried that it's going to damage the relationship. But actually, confirmed in a recent academic study, as it happens, delivering feedback with empathy, even if it's a negative feedback, is actually going to increase, not decrease, the quality of the relationship. So our guidance is don't be afraid.
Angela, so far we have covered the first two steps of the Fair Talk model. Tell me why it matters and tell me how I'm doing. Now let's move to the third one. Tell me what to do. What's its significance in leading through a crisis?
This step is highly significant, especially in times of a crisis. This final step is the process by which you as a leader reset your expectations. You share with your team member exactly what you need in the future. So in one way you might think about it as you sharing with your team member what they need to learn.
I get it. Clarity of goals and expectations are proven drivers of results. But how can you be clear on the expectations in a crisis when clarity is nowhere to be found?
Absolutely. Not a lot of clarity around right about now. But here's what we observe. The best team leaders are reminding their team members that no one's an expert in these times of uncertainty. They're reminding team members that, hey, guys, we're all learners together. They're encouraging experimentation. They're encouraging risk-taking. And when a team member finds a new way or an alternative method or has a breakthrough, they're celebrating that. And they're saying things like, guys, there's risk, but that's okay. We'll share the risk. You can use this final step in the three-step process to signal your belief in the elite, in the learner's ability to find a way through despite the uncertainty. Giving feedback shows that you care about the work and you care about the outcomes. I think it can be inspiring.
It really is. It really is. So let's sum it up. You mentioned these three steps for powerful feedback that are universal. Tell me why it matters, tell me how I'm doing, and tell me what to do. You also talked about this standard terms and conditions for any type of feedback. It must be relevant, specific, aligned, tailored to the context. Now, let's talk about fairness. After all, the title of your book is Fair Talk. So what's one recipe for fairness of feedback that you could share with our listeners when this feedback is delivered from a distance?
Your feedback is always fair when it helps your employee perform better. So ask yourself a question, and we kind of think of this as kind of the acid test of sorts. By sharing this information, will I help her improve her results? And if the answer to that is yes, then go ahead and deliver it. Use that three-step model. It'll ensure that your feedback lands exactly the way it's intended.
Thanks a lot, Angela. I'm sure that our listeners appreciate the insights and practical advice. Stay safe.
Sergey, it has been a pleasure as always. Thank you and wishing everyone lots of fair talk.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Lid Radio Podcast. Do keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing, and we'll be sharing more expert opinions and episodes such as the Inside Knowledge series from people like Sergey and Angela. Take care and thank you for listening. See you next time.